819. Constantly abiding.
My wife is in the hospital. She's at Lehigh Valley Cedar Crest in room 304, which is the maternity ward. So if you did want to go see her, she'll be there for 2 weeks. But if you wanted to go see her, you'll have to check in at the front desk and get a visitor pass because they monitor everybody who goes in and out of that floor. So she's in room 304, and the baby's doing fine. The only reason she's there is because of her lungs with the cystic fibrosis, and they'll be able to do all the tests with a baby that she was supposed to have done if she had been home, because she was scheduled to go to the doctor twice a week, just for checkups and ultrasounds, and they'll be able to do that right there for her. So as of right now, that's where she's at, is in room 304. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or nail-pierced hand, than to be
Great song. Great job. Thank you, brother. Okay, I think we're on. All right. Romans chapter number 12, if you would, please. Romans chapter number 12. I started a message this morning in Sunday school, and out of 4 points, we accomplished number one, point number one. Lord willing, tonight, if you come back in the evening, you can come back for the rest of the story. Amen. And Romans chapter number 12. I was up in the air this morning trying to decide, should I finish what I started this morning or should I go ahead and start to preach the message that I had already prepared for this service? And when the first hymn was sung, that kind of solidified in my heart to preach the message that I had already prepared. And that is going to be out of Romans chapter number 12, if you would please, Romans chapter number 12. And we're going to look at verse number 1 and 2, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. And we're going to focus on verse number 2. And Romans 12, if you would, look with me, if you would. Paul the Apostle speaking here says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and he's speaking to saved people. He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to talk to you this morning about transformation. Transformation. Be ye transformed, Romans 12, 2 says. And by the way, that song this morning was all about what a wonderful change. That's what transformation is. It's a change. Amen. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he's speaking to those that are already saved. He's already talking to those who are already saved, are already believers, and he tells them, look, don't be conformed to this world. You know, there's a pressure in this world that's trying to conform everybody to it. And you and I that are saved, we are also under the pressure of the world. Amen? Whether we like it or not, we're all under the pressure of the world to become like the world, to speak like the world, to look like the world, to act like the world. And you and I that are saved, we're encouraged by Paul to be ye transformed. Amen? There's a change that takes place when Jesus comes in, but there's also a change that takes place because Jesus came. Amen. Amen. And this is what Paul the Apostle is talking about here. I want to talk to you about transformation being changed. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you for everything up to this point. As we open the word, we need your spirit to open our eyes, to open our ears, and to open our hearts, to change our lives more and more for you, for your glory, and for the good of others around us. Father, we pray that you'll bless in every way everything said and done. Again, please be with the preacher and be with Brother Jason's wife. Watch over them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make a few statements here this morning as I get into the message. And I want us to note this, that it is God's will for God's people to be different than we were. Amen. You and I, you know, before we got saved, we were stuck. Amen. Matter of fact, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. It is God's will for you and I that are saved to be different than what we were. Amen. I like what the scripture says, Paul the Apostle speaking to the Corinthians. And he said, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are clean. Amen. I'm so glad I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Somebody said, if you is what you were, then you ain't. That's a tongue twister, you know. You and I that are saved, we are encouraged to be different than we used to be. Ephesians chapter number 2 is a great chapter that really, I think verses 1 to 3 talk about before we were saved, where we were. But then 4 throughout 9 talks about how we were taken from where we were by the grace of God. Amen? And then verse number 10 says what God's trying to do right now, where we are, if you will. And verse number 1 to 3, if you will, and you. By the way, you could take that personal if you're saved. Amen? You know, we take all the wrong things personal, don't we? I take that personal and I get offended or I get affected by it. When we're hearing the word of God, we ought to take it personal for in a positive way. Amen. Verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, which means to make alive. You know, before you were saved, you were dead. But you and I that are made alive, we're made alive because of the Spirit of God and because of the Word of God. Amen. These bring life, if you will, to the sinner. And this is what it's talking about. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, before we got saved, you walked according to the course of this world, you according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our lifestyle, if you will, our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you put verses 1 to 3 together of Ephesians chapter 2, it basically says before we get saved, we're all stuck. We're stuck under the influence, if you will, of the devil, the influence of the world, and the influence of our own flesh. Amen. And so that's what he's saying is you used to be in this particular situation, but God saved you. God quickened you. God made you alive. And look at verses 4, if you will. But God, by the way, that's the difference right there. What's the difference between you and I that are saved and those that are lost? God is the difference. Amen. Verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. I'm so glad he is. I'm so glad he's full of love and mercy toward you and I, not to give us what we rightfully deserve. Amen. For his great love wherewith he loved us. I'm so glad he loved us the way that he loved us, even when we were unsaved. Amen. For God so loved the world, is even the memory verse this morning, right? For God so loved the world, you and I, before we were saved, he loved us. While we were yet without strength, in due time, due season, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse number 4, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. Thank God he saved us by his wonderful grace, and he raised us, verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the way, we're there already. Somebody said, are you going to heaven? I'm already there. You say, what do you mean? I got to catch up to where I'm at positionally. You and I that are saved, we have a position in Christ. Amen. If any man have a position in Christ, spiritually speaking, by the way, once you're in him, you're in. Once you're in the ark and God shuts the door, you're in. You're going through that. You're not going to face the judgment. Amen. Jesus already faced it for us. Verse number 6, we've been raised together, we're in heavenly places in Christ. Verse number 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And one of the key verses about salvation, verse number 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Boy, that right there flies in the face of many people who think they can work their way to heaven. None of yourselves. I know our family comes from Roman Catholicism, and many of our people in the city of Philadelphia are dominated by Roman Catholicism, which says you got to work your way to heaven. This verse right here actually takes that emphasis. It's a gift of God, not of works. You cannot get any more plain and any more simple. 17 years ago in the city of Philadelphia, in a Polish community, in the Bridesburg area of Philadelphia. Anybody ever familiar with or heard about the Bridesburg area of Philadelphia? It's right off of Allegheny exit of 95. It's a Catholic Polish community for years and years and years has been just so difficult. There was a church started over 100 years ago there. It called the First Baptist Church of Bridesburg. The building's probably half the size of this building. It's been there for 100 and something years. And when I started a church in that area, I remember getting a paper where that church was celebrating 100 and something years. And I remember reading some of the history. I think they had about 55 to 60 pastors in that time period. And I remember reading some of them came from Bob Jones in the 50s and so on, when it was a good preaching and good teaching and so on. But I read it, and some of them were there for 3 months, some of them there 6 months, some of them a year or whatever. It was such an area that was just so hard because of the religion. By the way, religion is hard to break. Sometimes it's easier leading a sinner to salvation who understands what they are and where they are than it is a religious person. Amen? In fact, if you recall in John chapter number 3, which is your memory chapter, if you were the memory verses, you remember Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. You remember he was a Pharisee. He was a self-righteous religious man. In the very next chapter, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. But you know the difference was? I didn't hear Jesus say to the woman at the well, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." You know what "marvel not" means? Don't be surprised what I'm going to tell you. But surely when he told Nicodemus, that self-righteous religious man, "Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again." If I ever went to a nun or a priest or a father, as they call them, and I would tell them they need to get saved, I might have to preface it with, "Don't be surprised, I'm going to tell you this. You need to be saved too." Amen? Religious people, hardest people sometimes to get saved. But the fact of the matter is, in verse number 8, "For by grace," it means it's a free gift, "you are saved through faith, just simply trusting Jesus Christ." Amen. Not of yourselves in this wonderful thought. It's the gift of God. Amen. Verse number 9 again reiterates, "not of works." So get it. Not of yourselves. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. The way that people think they're getting to heaven today, when they get there, they'd be able to brag about all that they did to get there. That actually sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You and I know that if we're going to get there, it's going to be because of Jesus and Jesus only. Amen? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. So let me just emphasize. Verse number 1 to 3 of Ephesians 2 says where we were stuck in the influence of the world, the influence of the devil, the influence of the flesh. But God, in his mercy and love, he came down, sent his son to redeem us, to reach in there and to bring us out and to lift us out and to lift us up. Amen. And now where are we at? Now what's going on? Well, here's what I picture in my mind. In verses 4 to 9, God in love and mercy reaches in and saves us by his wonderful grace. But verse 10 tells us what he's doing now. What is he doing now? What's he doing with me since he saved me? Look at verse number 10. Watch it now. Here it is. "For we are" what? "His workmanship." He's still working on me. He's still working on me. The day that you and I got saved, Philippians 1:6, we can be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? The day that he saved me, get this, he began to change me. The day he took me out from where I was and he put me on, if you will, his pedestal, where he is working on me. If you are saved, he's working on you. Amen. Why? He ain't done yet. He is not done yet. Amen. Verse number 10, if you would please. "For we are his workmanship." Where at? Created. Where at? In Christ Jesus. Amen. Unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. You know the term walk in them? Live in them. Now, good works, by the way, we got to be very, very careful. We take the thought of good works and we automatically think, okay, feeding the poor, you know, or you know, giving clothes to somebody. Now, they are good works, no doubt about it. But the real emphasis is this. He took us from living in bad works. Our lifestyle was filled with bad works. He took us from that and saved us, and now he's working on us to do just the opposite of what we used to do. Let your light, and I love to take that word light in Matthew chapter 5, and I can interchange it with the word life. In him was light and life. Watch this. Let your light, or should I say it this way, let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our brother, what's your name, brother? Bill. Brother Bill and I were talking, and he was talking about how his dad got saved and how he and his family got saved. And he was really curious about how God worked on his heart, or his dad's heart, on being saved. And his dad mentioned about how he looked at Christians and saw that they were different types of people. They were unique. They were different. And that's exactly what God does. He takes us from where we were. He works on us to change us and to make us different. And by the way, people who used to know what we were and know what we are, they have no excuse but to say, "My goodness, something has happened in this man's life." Amen? God uses our lifestyle as Christians. The more changed into His image we become, the more glorifying to Him we are, the more useful we can be to Him in the lives of others. Amen? And that's exactly what it's all about. Listen, God's will for you and I is to be different than we were. You and I, if I could put it to you this way, according to Romans chapter number 6, verses 1 to 4, if you have been raised, if you have been buried with Him, if you have been raised like Him, you also should walk in the newness of life. New life in Christ, abundant and free. Amen? That's exactly what it is. You and I that are saved ought to be different. Let me give you another thought. Not only is it God's will for God's people to be different than what we were. Now here's where I think the challenge comes. Be honest with you, I'm different than I used to be. I think I might have gave glimpses of some of my testimony. You know, I grew up in a very poor home. My mom was on welfare, raised five boys. Dad was a drunkard, never lived home. I come from a very bad, I have a brother that's in heaven because of his drug addiction and all kinds of other wickedness and sin. He died an early death. My brother spent years and years in jail, my older brothers. And had it not been for a church starting in our area and reaching our family with the gospel, I would be there too. I was an alcoholic at the age of 17. I was stealing cars, smoking marijuana. I was a bad kid. I got saved in Sunday school, but I got bacheloring as a teenager. But God chastened me and God dealt with me. But God changed me from that. And there are people in my old neighborhood who I used to hang with and who knew what I was. But when they saw what God did, it was drastically different, totally different. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you look at what I used to be and what I am now, you would say total difference. Totally changed. But here's the thing. I cannot be content with that. I can't say, I thank God I'm not what I used to be and leave it at that. Because I know that I still got more to do. There's more change that needs to be done in my heart and in my life. Amen? He has, by the way, you ever hear that song, more about Jesus? And I'm not going to sing a special. More of His saving fullness, see, more of His love who died. You know what that song's saying? I've seen God do great things in my life, but I need to see more. I've seen great victories and great deliverances, but I need to see more. You know what happens? I believe we get saved and a lot of the outward evident sinfulness goes away. God, the mouth kind of gets cleaned up and maybe the smoke and drink, a lot of those outward things go, and all of a sudden now God starts to get down to the nitty gritty. He starts to get down to, what about the attitude? What about this? Amen? Am I alone on this? Am I the only bad guy here? Come on, you're making me feel like I'm a bad guy. What am I doing at this? There were nine and nine. And I'm not going to sing that one, amen. But can I get a witness? Here it is. God's will for God's people is not only that we be different than we were, but here it is, that we continue to be different than we are. What am I saying? He's still working on me. Hey, listen, if the Apostle Paul, if in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 to 15, if he said, I'm not there yet, you probably, the kids in the car, you know, you're going on vacation, you're going on a trip. Are we there yet? How many times are you going to hear that? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Amen. Paul the Apostle got saved and he was drastically changed, drastically different. But he said, I have not arrived. I'm not everything I ought to be, but this one thing I do, I forget the past, I keep reaching forth unto those things that were before. Amen? You and I may have been saved from a lot, we have been changed a lot, but we got a lot more change to go. Amen? By the way, if you're perfect, I don't know what you're smoking. You're taking something, I'd like to have some. Can I get a witness on that one? He's still working on me. That's the whole emphasis. He's still working on me. I thank God that I'm not what I used to be, but I know I'm not everything I ought to be. And this is what challenged me to continue to be changed. To continue to be changed. Now, in reference to transformation, I want to give you a couple thoughts. Number one, if you take notes, if not, jot this in your mind if you would. Number one, transformation involves some things, right? Here's number one, it involves this. It involves a power. You and I can't be what we ought to be without God's power. A sinner cannot be changed into the likeness of Christ, cannot be Christ-like until he's what? Saved. Because a sinner that's not saved doesn't have the power that it takes from God to be what it takes to be what God wants him to be. A sinner may bring about reformation. You know what reformation means? It means cleaning up on the outside. It means taking the pig out of the pigsty and just spraying them down and cleaning them up. But you know what? There's no change on the inside. There's no change of the nature. And what happens to that pig? It automatically goes back, right? You and I that are saved, by the way, you got to be saved to have the power to be different, amen? No doubt about that, amen? Until a person becomes saved, he doesn't have what it takes to be all that God wants him to be. Would you do me a favor? Would you turn to the book of Philemon? I hate to say a book, but it's a chapter, amen? Turn to Philemon. If you don't know where Philemon is, it's right before Hebrews. Right before Hebrews. It's one chapter. Some call him Philemon, but it's Philly man. I'm a Philly man. Philemon. Look at verse number 10-11. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but Philemon was a runaway slave. I believe he had robbed his master. Actually, not Philemon. Philemon was the owner of the slave. Onesimus was the runaway slave who robbed his master, Philemon. And I believe personally he probably got locked up in Rome somewhere, and Paul was able to contact him in prison. And I believe that Paul led him to the Lord. We know that through the scriptures. The name Onesimus means profitable. That's what it means. Paul writes this letter to Philemon and says, hey, listen, Onesimus got saved. I need you to forgive him. I need you to bring him in. I need you to restore him. I need you to receive him like you would receive me. And it's a great picture, great wonderful truths. But here's what I want you to see out of it. Paul uses a play on the word Philemon, which means profitable. Look at verse number 10 and 11. Paul said this, I beseech thee for my son. He calls him my son because he led him to the Lord. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, he uses his name, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Verse number 11, which in time past, okay, before he got saved, right, was to thee, what's that word? Unprofitable. But now he's what? Profitable to thee and to me. You see, Onesimus' name meant profitable, but he couldn't live up to his name until he got saved. Paul used that as to say, hey, listen, he wasn't profitable before this, but now he's saved. Now he is profitable. He's good. You can use him in the Lord. He's good for you and he's good for me in the ministry. Onesimus couldn't live up to that name of being profitable until he got saved. Amen. And you cannot, by the way, people give their children good names. Very rarely do you see people naming their children bad names unless they're in a heavy metal band or something. You know what I mean? Who in the world? Yeah, you're going to be Charles Manson Jr. I don't think so. Can I get a witness on that one? Usually people want to give their children good names. And in fact, they want their children to be able to, maybe that good name. In fact, Judas is a good name, but very often people don't give that no more. Amen? You cannot live up to good name unless you're first saved. Amen? And that's the whole emphasis of it. When a person gets saved, listen, he goes from the power of Satan to the power of God. Amen? In fact, in Acts chapter number 26, I'm going to have to shed my coat now. We're starting to sweat up a little bit. Thanks for the fan, too. I appreciate that. Amen? When I was younger, I had to worry about a fan being behind me for my hair's sake, but I don't have to worry about that no more. Amen? The things I used to worry about, I don't worry about no more. Amen. You remember that song? There's been a great change since Jesus came in. Amen. But anyway, Acts chapter number 26, Paul's mission was go to the Gentiles and to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Amen. That's what it's all about. By the way, he did lead many of Gentiles to the Lord who were chained. The Thessalonian church, he brags about them turning from idols to serve the living God. What a change in people's lives. Amen. When they get saved. Colossians chapter 1 verses 12 to 14 talks about going from the power of the devil to the kingdom of God's dear son. Amen. Would you turn with me for a moment to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Transformation involves a power. You have to have salvation. You have to have the power of God, the Spirit of God, if you will. Amen. Because when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Amen. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, would you look at verse number 3 with me, please? 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. According as his divine what? Power hath given unto us, we that are saved, all things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. What does that mean? That means if you got saved, you got the power of God to live a godly life. Amen? And you don't have that power until you get saved. In fact, we're told and we're warned in the book of Timothy that today's type of people are going to be a wretched people, but they're going to have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. There are people that look godly, but on the inside, they're not. I think Jesus called them, you know, dead man's bones and filled with all corruption and so on. Amen. Listen, when a person gets saved, they go from the power of Satan to the power of God. That reminds me of that demoniac in Mark chapter 5. You remember that demoniac? By the way, many men tried to bind that man and control that man. They tried from the outside to control him. I guess they tried an intervention, if you will. You got a man that's demon possessed and he's naked and he's running around in the graveyard and he's cutting himself and he's just a mess. And they tried to control him. They tried to bind him. And no man could tame him. But then Jesus came along. Amen. And Jesus came, cast out the demon. And all of a sudden you find the man clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Amen. See, Jesus Christ saved him to the point he didn't have to run around no more. He was able to have some peace and be still. His mind wasn't crazy. He had sound mind and he was clothed. Amen. It's amazing what the Lord can do. Amen. No doubt about it. Listen, when a person gets saved, they go from the power of Satan to the power of God. When a person gets saved, they go from the power of sin to the power of God. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, which we'll not get into, but Romans chapter 6 is a great chapter that says, listen, sin does not have dominion over you that are saved no more. You don't have to be under the control of sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin. Amen. Let me just say this. It did not say you won't sin. It says you don't have to live there. You don't have to live there. There's not a saved person. I don't believe there's a saved person and go through this life without sinning. I believe sinless perfection is crazy. I believe it's God's will for us not to. He says, listen, I want to tell you, 1 John 2, I want you not to sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? You and I ought to try our best to do right, but I guarantee you, you'll not go through this life without sinning. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us from all sin. Amen? But we don't have to be enslaved by it no more. We don't have to be dominated by it no more. We don't have to live in it no more. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he should destroy the works of the devil. And that's in the context of people being bound and enslaved to sin. He set us free. Amen. Satan had me bound. Jesus set me free. Amen. This is what I'm talking about. It takes a power. When a person gets saved, they go from the power of Satan to the power of God. They go from the power of sin to the power of God. And they go from the power of the world to the power of God. Galatians 1:4, we're not in the neighborhood, but let's go over to that neighborhood. Look at Galatians chapter number 1. If you would, Galatians chapter number 1. He's changed. He's made a lot of changes in my life, but there's a lot more to go. There's a lot more to go. And I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have to keep working on me until I get to heaven. Amen. Galatians chapter number 1. When you get saved, you get the power to overcome the flesh. You get the power to overcome the world and the devil. Thanks to being saved. Amen. You remember those unsaved men trying to fight the devil? And the devil said, you know, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? Amen. Who are you? Look with me in Galatians chapter number 1, please. Look at verse number 4. in reference to Jesus Christ. Watch this. Who gave himself for us, for our sins, right? That he might deliver us from what? This present evil world. Amen? Thank God for that. By the power of Jesus Christ, we can live in this world but not have to live like it or for it. Amen? When a person gets saved, they get the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful, wonderful change in their life. Let me give it a second thought. Not only does transformation, being changed, involve a power, but I want to give you this thought, and I want you to get this if you would. Transformation involves a process. A process. And by the way, that first point, I don't doubt the majority of us in here are believers, and we understand it took salvation to make us different. Amen? If you're not saved, I'm telling you, salvation can change your life. Amen? But here's, I think, the word for you and I that are saved and we know it. I want to be changed more and more. I need to be changed more and more. And by the way, nobody knows that better than me. People don't know you unless you tell them about you. And most of us are not telling everybody about ourselves the way we ought to. Or not the way we ought to, but everything about ourselves. Can I get a witness on that one? And I'm really glad we don't have to do that. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, you know you better than anybody knows you. And God only knows you that best way. And if you know yourself, you need to be changed more and more. And I hopefully you want to be changed more and more. I want to be more patient. Anybody ever get tempted to get a little road rage going? Oh, thank you. Some people laugh. Say, yeah, okay, brother. Yeah, that's me. Especially when you're behind somebody that you don't even know they're driving. You don't even know they're there. They're not above the wheel or above the car. Like, is there anybody in there? They're doing 10 miles an hour. This is one lane. And I do have to go somewhere. Amen? I want to be more patient. I was praying on my way up here this morning. That's a spiritual thing, isn't it? And in the midst of my prayer, I said, that guy's a retard. I'm serious, brother. When you go from this lane to past my lane with no turn signal and like right in front of me, I guess, you know, he just saw, oh, there's my exit. I'm in the middle talking to the Lord and I said, retard. I'm confessing my sin, folks. I already confessed it to the Lord. Amen. I'm just telling you about it. You know what I said? Lord, forgive me. I'm in the middle of prayer and I'm calling a man a retard. And I thought, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. That was crazy what he did, but that, he's not a retard. God forgive me. I want to be more patient. I hate to even say that. Amen. Somebody said, don't pray for patience. Amen. I want to be more kind. I want to be more loving. I want to be more courteous. I want to be more thoughtful. There are times I'll prejudge something, and when the whole story comes out, it's like, oh man, God forgive me. Amen. I heard one preacher say, the older you get, your activities become to like jump into conclusions and other things, you know what I mean? Because you don't jump a lot of physically anyway. The process. I want to be. What can I do? What can I do to help God help me to change more and more? And that's the process of it. Romans chapter 12 is where we started. Be not conformed, ready, to this world. But be changed, be transformed, be different. Here it is. By the renewing of your mind. A changed life is the byproduct of a changed mind. The only thing that you and I need in our minds and in our hearts to be different more and more in a better way, we need more of the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts. We don't need bracelets that say WWJD. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, if I'm driving, I'm probably going to still say a retard and then look at that. Oh, hold on a minute. I need His Word in my heart. Amen? In my mind. And by the way, with that in mind, I can help the process. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. By the way, who's going to determine whether I got a poor amount of God's word or a rich amount of God's word? I'm going to determine that. Amen? God's word, like rain that comes down from heaven, it goes into the ground, but it doesn't stay there. It brings forth fruit to the pleasure of God. Do you know what I have the opportunity to do? I have the opportunity to grab a drain spout and to direct it to my heart and life. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. There's a lot of rain in this. And I can pour it in. Look, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I want to be changed and I want to be different. And I know God's word's got the power. It's quick and powerful, sharpening. It's got what it takes to make me what I ought to be. I have to depend on it. I don't understand how it works. It's a mystery. You plant seed, you water it, and boom, good stuff comes up. You put the seed of the word in the heart, you water it a lot, and boom, good things start to come out. Amen? If you and I do not get this book into our heart and into our lives, we're probably going to stay the same or get worse. You've heard the old saying that sin will keep you from the book, or the book can keep you from sin. Amen? I want you to turn with me, if you would, for a moment to Ephesians chapter number 4. The process. If you're tired of being what you are and you want to be more and more what God wants you to be, you have an opportunity. There's a self-help book. It's right here. Amen. You help yourself to it, and it will make a difference in your life. Amen. In my life. Ephesians, if you would, chapter number 4. By the way, let me say this. In the book of Thessalonians, before I look at Ephesians, we're looking at Ephesians 4 in a moment. In the book of Philippians, don't turn there, but in the book of Philippians, do you remember there were some ladies that were having some quarrels, some issues, a little division, not major. And you know what Paul the apostle, under the inspiration of God, Paul wanted to try to resolve the issues between these individuals, see the little whatever the problem was. And you know what his main emphasis was? Here's how to be different. Here's how to get along. You need to do this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was somebody but was humble about it. Amen. This mind, you and I have an opportunity. We have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. If we could get his mind, we might react like he would react. Amen. Philippians or Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 22 to 24. Ephesians. Thank God. I think you know what I mean, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. That you put off. Concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off your old lifestyle, right? Which is what? Only corrupt according to deceitful lust. Look at verse number 24. And that you put on the what? New man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and what? True. What holiness? True. Oh, there's a fake one? Yeah. Absolutely. Holy, holy, holy. I could put on a fake one. I can feign myself to be better than I am. I can actually do maybe like the devil's workers can do. I can transform myself. I can make myself look like. You know what? I don't want that. I want sincere. I want true holiness. I want to really be. I think of that old, I think it was an old spiritual. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart. That's what I want to do. How do I do it? How do I put off the old man? How do I put off my old sinfulness, my old nature, this old flesh? How do I put that off? And how do I put on a new man? How do I become truly what God wants me to be? Look at verse 23. Everything hinges on verse 23. And be renewed in what? The spirit of your mind. There it is. You can't. Look, it's so simple. You need the mind. Put off the old mind, put off the old man. Put on the new mind, put on the new man. Mind your business. Amen? Can I get a witness on that one? Let me just say this. The purpose of our church gatherings and the preaching of the preacher is to change our living by changing our thinking. There ain't no doubt about it. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Imaginations is reasonings. The word of God is supposed to work in our minds and in our thoughts. We thought this. He changes how we think, and now we think differently. Amen? And because we think differently, we act differently. We react differently. One reason why some of us Christians fail to be transformed or changed is that we fail to do our part. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's my responsibility, right? Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The very context of Proverbs chapter 4 is get God's word in the midst of your heart and keep it there. Amen? That's the whole thing of it. I'm not going to do this for the sake of time, but there's a great illustration in John chapter number 2 in verses 1 to 11. You see, it takes the power of God to change things. But we have to do what God wants us to do in order to see that happen. You remember when they ran out of wine, and I don't believe they had an alcoholic party, and they got so drunk that they needed more wine, and Jesus said, oh, this be a good thing. Let's give them more wine since they're already drunk. I don't believe that. Not for a minute. They ran out of wine. They came to Jesus. You remember the whole situation. You know, actually, the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God, the mother of Jesus came to Jesus and said, they ran out of wine. He said, you know, well, what do I have to do with that? And so on. And all of a sudden, she said to the servants, rightfully so, hey, whatever he says, do it. That's a good message, by the way. Whatever Jesus says, do it. That's what Mary said. A lot of Catholics need to understand that. Mary said, whatever he says, do it. So you know what did Jesus say? There were 6 water pots, clay pots. By the way, 6 is the number of man. Clay is actually what man is made of. But anyway, nonetheless, 6 empty water pots. And what did Jesus tell the servants to do? Huh? Fill them to the brim with water. There's got to be a message title. It's this, just add water. I love things where you just add water. Now, they're not always the best. I like when my wife works real hard to mash potatoes, but there are some potatoes you can buy and just add water. What happened? Just add water. And let me tell you what they did. Brother, you're right. They added the water to the brim. And what happened? We have no idea. We just know one thing. Jesus is powerful and made it what he made it. He took something that was just simply natural, and by his miraculous power, he changed it. Just add water. How can God change my life more and more? Listen, just add water. It's his power that does the changing. You just simply, in fact, I would encourage you to do like Brother Jason, and fill it to the brim. Don't just, you know, here's a few trickles, let's see what God will do. No, man, fill up, amen? Just add water. And some might even think, just add milk as well, but that's fine as well, amen? Some of you will get that in a little bit. This is milk as well, amen? Let me give you the last thing, and I'm quitting. Listen, transformation, being changed, involves a power. Number 2, it involves a process. If you're saved, get in the process. Just get in the word, let the word get into you, and he'll do the changing. Amen? But let me give you the last thought. When you think about transformation, turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Transformation, being changed. Being changed begins with power at salvation. Amen? But being changed more and more goes along with getting into the word and getting the word in me. Amen. Continue in the word and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. But transformation's not over. Just because I'm saved and changed more and more, transformation's not over. There's a great transformation we're all looking forward to. Amen. And that transformation is that complete one. Amen. Look with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51. Here's what Paul said. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which means we're all not going to die. But we shall all be what? Changed. Amen? Transformation involves a promise. It involves a promise. That promise is you are going to be ultimately and totally changed one day. Do you know why I need this promise, brothers and sisters, and you need this promise? After I get saved and get the power of God to be different, as I'm working on being changed more and more, it's not an easy process. And so during this time, you get weak, you get weary, you struggle, and so on. We need a hope. We need a blessed hope. Even the blessed hope of his glorious coming, amen. I need to know that I'm not going to have to live like this forever, but this battle that I'm in And this flesh that I'm fighting, and this world that I'm and I'm working, is going to be changed in a moment. One day, as I, you know, hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus, signal still. When you're in the battle trying to live for God, and it's not easy, the devil says, it's not easy. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well quit. You and I need to say, no, his coming is going to be what keeps me going. Amen? Look at this. Look at verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We are going to be totally changed. No more flesh to battle. No more fighting the devil. Amen? In fact, Paul the apostle looked for, he said, my citizenship is in heaven, from whence also I look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change this vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. Oh, what a great change is coming. Amen. What a great change is coming. It's a blessed hope, isn't it? Psalm 17:15, don't turn there. I shall see his face in righteousness. I shall be like him. I'll see him as he is. And I shall be satisfied. I'm not going to be totally satisfied with the changes in my life until I'm like him. Amen. Which is going to be there for the most part. Amen. It's the hope of his coming that keeps us going. The simple message to the sinner today, if you're not saved and you want to be changed, get in the Lord. Get in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. Old things pass away. All things become. If you're unsaved, if you've never been saved and you want to be changed, get in the Lord. Amen? The simple message for you and I that are saved, if we want to be changed more and more, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Amen? You and I, according to 2 Corinthians 5:15 through 18, as our eyes are opened and we can understand the scriptures, we go from glory to glory, so as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you and I that are saved get into this book, the Spirit of God will work in our hearts, trying to make us more and more like Jesus. Amen? And that's, by the way, the change that God is trying to do in our lives. Amen? It takes a power to be different, to be changed. It takes a process. Get in it. But thank God for the promise. One day we'll be totally changed, totally different. Amen. And God help us. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, thank you for your precious word this morning. Thank you for the fact that we can be saved and we can have the power of God to be different. And those of us that are already saved, we have the power of God to be different, and we've been different, but we need to be more different. Lord, our challenge is to get with the program, to get into the book, and to get the book into us, that we might speed the process even of becoming more and more what we ought to be. And thank you, Lord, as we struggle through this life trying to live for you, there's a wonderful hope. And that hope is the fact that you're coming again. And when you come in, you come and we go, we will be changed totally and completely in a moment. And what a blessed day that will be. Father, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that needs to be saved, Lord, may they know that they can seek out myself or any one of these gentlemen, Lord, up here. And we'd be glad. And if they're a woman, we can send them with a woman to show them how to be saved. But I pray for all of us that are saved. May we not be content with our Christianity. But may we be ever challenged to be more and more from our hearts and in our hearts what we ought to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen.